gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's not getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to episode 10 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at Koopa Troopa 8. This week is going to be week one of a two-part series on what it takes to be at the top and what it takes to be at the bottom. The reason for that is I'm going to be looking through what it takes to be the number one team, and more specifically to get that first round bye that is significantly what you want in order to win a fantasy championship. And then I'm also going to be looking at what it takes to be the worst team in your league. How many wins do you need? How many points force do you need? What is your max points force that you need to be under in order to get that first seed? Things like that. I'm going to be looking at it from the lens of a specific league. In this case, the same league that I talked about last week in episode 9, where it's a lineup, 12 teams, start 10, with the most standard settings that you can think of. And I will talk about the specific numbers for things that can easily translate over, things like the number of wins per week. And then I'm going to transition over to also giving you percentages on some of the other factors, where we're talking about points scored, max points force, things like that. The reason for that is that way you can use these numbers to help translate to your own leagues. That way you can look at a previous season in one of your leagues and you can figure out whether it was an anomaly or not by applying some of these percentages to the various numbers that you see. If you want an easy way to take a look at what these numbers look like for your league for the upcoming season, you can go and check out the simulator on southharmonff.com. It's part of the Warp Worshipper package, so if you have access to the Warp tool, you'll also get access to the simulator. And the simulator gives you all this relevant information. It tells you the number of wins, the number of points force, the points against, and the max points for your entire league. So you're able to see where you stand in terms of the rest of your league, and it can also help you identify some of the thresholds that you need to hit when I'm talking about this kind of data. You can see that, hey, maybe you're only projected to be 15% better than average, and I'm going to tell you that you need to be significantly better than that in order to be a top team in your league. So you're able to use that to help give you a reality check on where it is that you stand in your leagues. This is the time of year to be going through your leagues one by one, doing a reality check and make sure that you know where you are in standing in this league. If you are well outside the position of first or second and you don't have a clear way of getting there, maybe you need to take a step back from your plans of competing for a championship and understand that your best case scenario might be scraping into playoffs. The simulator is a great tool for helping out with that. So make sure to go to southharmonff.com and sign up for the Warp Worshipper plan. It'll get you access to the Warp Worshipper that tells you, hey, this is how you should be roster constructing in your league. And then also, you'll be getting access to this simulator that can help you figure out where you are in your league. It works right through the league settings that you have. And so it's not biased by any of these other fantasy rankings or things like that. If tight end 12 is more valuable than, say, wide receiver 5 in your league, the simulator is going to reflect that, and it's going to show you who the best teams are. So as I go through what it takes to be a top team in the league, I'm going to compare it to the average. So in our case, the average team has 7 wins. That makes total sense. That is half of 14. On average, one team wins and one team loses per week. Now, what does it take to be the number one seed? It takes winning, on average, 11.5 games. So you need to get to either 11 or 12 games won that over the course of a season in order to be the number one seed. That's actually a lot more flexible than I necessarily thought. You're able to lose 2 to 3 games over the course of a season and still be the number one seed. That's 2 to 3 weeks where you have a star player in your lineup who gets hurt and you end up losing to some other team. That's 2 to 3 weeks where you have a horrible bye week and you're playing basically all the guys off the bench and trying to just scrape together a starting lineup. That's the sort of thing where you have some flexibility, you can stumble and still be a top team. And honestly, it's a little bit more forgiving than even I thought. I thought that you'd need to be much closer to the 12 to 13 mark in order to be the number one team, but it's just that much more flexible, even in Dynasty. In order to be the number two team, you need to be hitting at least 10 wins. So the number is 10.3. 10 to 11 is a good number to target for being the number two seed. And that 10 is cutting it a little close. To give you an insight into number three, you only need 9.5 wins to be the three seed. So that difference between the number two and the number three seed is honestly not that great. It's only 0.8 wins. Whereas the difference between number one and number two was 1.2. So the difference between the number one and number two seed is usually pretty large. There's often one team that is just dominant compared to the rest of the league, even though they aren't necessarily infallible. And then that number two versus number three, that gap is a lot smaller. But as I talked about in episode 8, that gap in terms of the amount of money that you expect to win off of your league could not be larger. So I'm going to say that if you want to make a playoff bye, you need to realistically be able to win 11 games in your league. 10 is just cutting it too close for comfort, especially when you talk about that there could be another team that also scores 10 wins, and then you're coming down to a points forced battle of who scored more points over the course of the season, or maybe it's a head-to-head matchup tiebreaker, things like that. So I don't want to risk that. I want to aim for 11 wins on any of my teams that are going to be trying to compete for a championship. Now, what does it take to make the playoffs in general? On average, making the playoffs requires 7.45 wins. So basically, you just need to be barely above average. That makes sense because on average, half the teams make playoffs and half the teams don't. As we saw from episode 8, on average, you just need to make the playoffs in order to make your money back. So if you are a perennial team that always makes the playoffs, you're always going to make your money back. And all you need to do to that is just be above average. All you need is to score either 7 wins or potentially even just 8 just to be above the cutoff mark. So that way you're making playoffs. So those are the two bars that I'm going to try and hit. If I am trying to really compete, maybe I'm pushing in all of my draft capital and I'm going to have no flexibility, or maybe I'm just aiming for, I'm going to use this draft capital in order to allow myself to compete for a championship. I need to make sure that I'm doing it early enough where I am going to win 11 games over the course of the season. So if you think you're a big competitor and maybe you've lost 3 games by week 6, I wouldn't be shooting for trying to win a championship. I might try and hold on to some of my flexibility and just shoot for trying to hit the playoffs. Obviously, that's not necessarily going to happen for a lot of teams where if you thought you were a team that can win the championship and you're 3-3, you might be reevaluating anyway. But it's also hard to, at that point, even if you look like the best team in the league, to count on getting that first round bye. You will probably want to take a step back and maybe tank your team just a little bit to reflect where you are in the standings at that point. Maybe accumulate a little bit more value since you know you're probably out of the first or second place running at that point in the season. because winning the remaining 8 games, every single one of them, is going to be quite difficult. Next, we're going to look at the number of points forced that each team scores. So, on average, the number of points scored in one of these leagues is 1,779 points. That comes out to an average of 127 points per game over the course of the season. So if you're trying to compare these numbers to one of your leagues that maybe has totally different scoring settings, understand that 127 is the average here. So go to one of your leagues, figure out what the average is. Maybe it's higher and it's up at 150. Maybe it's lower and it's down at like 90. Just keep in mind that all of this is going to be based on that average of 127. So I'll try to give you averages as well, comparing everything, just that way you can then do these calculations in your league. So in our example league type, it's 1,779 fantasy points for an average team. And the number one overall team in the league scores 2,099 fantasy points. That comes out to 150 points per game and is 18% more than the average team. So when you're trying to look at what is the difference between the number one team and average, on average, the number one team is 18% better than the average team in your league. It doesn't seem like a lot when you put it in that number format, but it really is a lot when you talk about the variance and the fact that just getting that extra 18% edge is going to be so difficult. When we talk about predicting things across the course of a season, we find that a lot of times any prediction can only be 70% accurate. Now, you start stacking up a lot of these predictions, you do 70% times 70% by 70%, you're all the way down to 18% really quick. So those number one teams, although this 18% might seem like, oh, that's pretty close, that is an extremely hard number to get to, and you all know that. You know how hard it is to be the number one team in your league. The number two team in the league, they score 2,031 points, or 145 points per game, and that gives them 14% over average. So looking at this, I want to recognize, okay, my total number of points needs to be about 14% higher than average. So if I've found that my league on average, say, scores 150 points per week, I want to be scoring about 171 or more points a week in order to reliably secure myself a first round bye. Since that's what I'm shooting for, that's the number that I'm going to target. So what you can do is you can go through all your leagues, figure out what the average scoring number is. Maybe even just take a look at what the sleeper week one projections say. Right now, the week one projections, they're up on sleeper, and you can go through and figure out how many points you and your opponents and all the other teams in your league are supposed to score. Average all those out and multiply that by 1.14 and figure out that's your target number. If your week one projections are below that target number, then maybe you need to reevaluate where your team's at. Maybe you need to increase the number of points that are on your starting roster by transitioning into some more older veterans that are still playing at a higher level. Or maybe you just need to recognize that this year isn't going to be your year, and your best chance is it just making playoffs, and you're going to run off of that expectation, like I was talking about in episode 8. But that's the number that you should be shooting for, is 14% more than the average points force of your league. Something that I thought was kind of interesting as well is that actually 7th place scores more points than the average. That's because the very bottom ends up dragging it down so much. Next week, I'll talk about what it takes to be the number one overall seed, and so I'll cover those numbers, but just know that the very last seed is doing extremely poorly. And so this average number of points force is about 2.6% less than the team that it finishes in sixth. So to finish in the playoffs, you need to be 2.6% better than average. And then to finish in the hunt for a first round bye, you need to finish where you have 14% more points scored than the average of your league. Before we get into the end of the episode, I want to talk about our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can sign up for live prize breaks that are able to get you authentic signed sports memorabilia for whatever you sign up for. You can pay for an entry into any of their live prize breaks for MLB, NHL, NBA, and the NFL. There's even some variety prize breaks where you're able to get something from just about any sport, and all of it is guaranteed to be authentic and signed by your favorite players. Go to signedshit, that's signedsh.it, and use the code HARMAN15 to get 15% off. Once again, go to signedshit, that's signedsh.it, and use the code HARMAN15 to get 15% off and fill out your home or wherever you want with signed sports memorabilia. So I want to talk through here at the end about how this data affects my process and what changes I'm making to my dynasty portfolio this upcoming season. It's pretty clear to me what it takes to be a team that gets a first round bye. As I talked about in episode 8, it is so important to have that first round bye that that's all I'm shooting for. If I have a team that can't make the first round bye, I might try to squeeze it into making playoffs. If it doesn't make sense to sell off all my players, maybe I have a strong young core. Like, okay, I will try and at least make playoffs. So that way, on average, I would make my money back in that league. But the main thing that I am shooting for is trying to get that first round bye, and I now have some targets. I need to target getting at least 11 wins. I need to identify what my three potential loss matchups are. And if I'm looking at where it's four or five or potentially even more, I already know that this team is not going to be that competitive. It's not going to get me my first round bye. And so I need to take a step back and reevaluate what I'm doing with this team. I have some teams I've already looked at where I thought that I could maybe scrape out one more year of contending. And I even had this last year on a couple teams. I had one team that I went into the season and I said, I think I can be first or second. And then that team ended up finishing like fifth. And then I was in playoffs and I think I just got bounced out round one. Those are the teams that right now you can utilize to try and kickstart your rebuild sooner. Had I started the rebuild of that team sooner, I would have been able to leverage a bunch of my value into this 2024 draft class, and I probably would be much sooner on the path to rebuilding. Whereas now I'm still stuck with a team that has a bunch of veterans, and I need to transition them into getting me picks in 2025 and 2026, and potentially even 2027. Having that year of forewarning of being able to activate your rebuild sooner. Your players aren't quite as old. You're able to spend an entire season slowly trading off the value rather than trying to do it all at once before the season starts. So that way you can jump down to that 101 immediately. Those can help you potentially, instead of needing to do a full teardown rebuild, identify it's time to retool. And maybe that just means you need to spend 1 year accumulating some value in order to invest it back in, and now you're back at the top again. But just identifying that you're not a top contender allows you to do that. You aren't forced into the complete 101 rebuild because your team is too old to have any value left on it. And that's something that I need to learn with my teams. Rather than forcing them to keep contending, I need to identify when they are not major contenders and start that retool or rebuild process earlier. Having these target numbers is also really going to help. If I can identify, even just off of points four, that I know that my team is going to be a contender, that it's going to be able to score upwards of, say, 2,000 points in this kind of league format that I talked about here in this episode, that I have a pretty decent shot at getting that first round bye. And it can help me identify what kinds of leagues I'm willing to push in and go against potentially some of the other strategies that I've talked about in the past. I've talked about how tight ends don't matter, but if I'm able to get a major points upgrade at the tight end position, say I'm able to sell a first and a second and get Travis Kelce, and I've been playing tight ends don't matter, that might potentially give me a 10 or 11 points per week boost that all of a sudden, now that vaults me from having my average be 135 points per game to 145. That vaults me from fifth to second off of that one single move, and I know that that one single move is what gets me into contention where I'm expecting to receive a first round bye. Things like that are able to allow me to more accurately understand what it is that I'm doing in each of my leagues. Best ball is going to be a little bit harder to track. It's going to be a little harder to predict before each week because some of what makes best ball so good is that the players that are in your lineup are at the beginning of the week in terms of what the projections are not going to be the players at the end of the week with the results. And so the actual numbers are going to be a little higher than the projections. Assuming your team is good and you have a stable of good bench assets that are able to spike and enter your lineup and not only fill gaps, but be able to give you more points than the players that were projected to be there. So those ones are still going to be a little bit harder, and that's potentially a topic for a future episode is figuring that out. But for right now, I'm aiming for that 14% higher than average in terms of my total points scored. One last thing I wanted to talk about is the usage of waiver budget. On average, a team only uses 31% of its total waiver budget. That means across an entire league, 69% is left completely unused. In an entire 12-team league, that is slightly more than $800 if each team got $100 to bid with. What that means to me is that there's a ton of waiver budget that is potentially up for grab. And the top teams, they use more of their waiver budget. It might not seem significant, but the top teams use 40% of their waiver budget. That is almost 10% higher than the average team. And more specifically, at the rate they're using it, they're using about 33% more FAB than the average team. So what does that mean for how I want to use my FAB? I want to be using my FAB much more aggressively. I know on a lot of my teams that I end up ending the season with a bunch of FAB unused. I want to try and utilize that FAB just to get myself some better players. Can I potentially bid 50% more than I was expecting to on a player and that end up being the difference between not getting them and getting them? That's what I'm looking to try and figure out for this upcoming season. Can I utilize my waiver budget more aggressively? And more specifically, can I just spend it all by the end of the season? I know that's a little bit of a harder thing to do, and waiver budget is a lot more valuable in best ball, but it's something that is actionable. Anytime I feel like I would spend, say, $4 on a player, let's make it $6. Anytime that I would potentially spend $10, make it $15. If I was going to do a $1 bid, why not do a $2 bid? Things like that to go through some of this extra FAB And then also in trades. Maybe I am looking at a trade where it's a one-for-one player. Can I just see if I can get them to give me $2 in fab, $3, maybe even $5 or $10, just so that way I have a little bit extra when it comes to the end of the season, and then I can blow it even more aggressively as we get to playoffs. That's the kind of thing that I am attempting to do, and the data shows that that's what the top teams are doing. What I'm doing with this episode's data is not necessarily saying this is what I'm doing wrong, but figuring out what I need to emulate. If I want to be a top team, how do I be a top team? What are they doing that I am potentially not doing? And in my personal process, one of those is fab usage. So that's the main process change that I am taking away from this episode. It is shooting for that 11 wins mark, trying to get to 14% more points force than average, and then increasing my fab usage by almost 50%. That's everything that I have for this week. Feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at Dynasty Koopa or on the Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you don't have access to the Discord, you can go sign up for it at patreon.com/southharmon. And if you sign up for the pregame pooper tier, you get access to the Wrinkled Brains channel where Dynasty Barry and I, we end up having all sorts of discussions where we're going through data. And recently it's become a lot of talk about best ball drafts in terms of things like underdog, best ball mania 5, and all the various different side tournaments that have been going on. So once again, that's patreon.com/southharmon. And as always, stay sharp and grind that edge.